and put your attention at the heart center. Feel there that there's a tremendous life force, a flow as if a river is flowing through you. Feel that your heart is opening, expanding, and that that river is growing inside of you. It washes through your entire system, your nervous system, your mental system, your body system, bringing health, bringing peace, bringing divine love, the eternal presence. And as it washes through, it baptizes you. It washes out all impurities, all inharmony, all lower forces. Feel it washing through any tiredness, any difficulties that you might be carrying with you. It all gets washed downstream, and you are purified. And then you feel that love, that light, that joy streaming through you and going out to this world as it washes the world clean, as it purifies the vibration of this world. And seeing God's children everywhere, responding to that divine presence, awakening in them something special. Perhaps it is something brand new, or it is anciently familiar. And so you see it going all around this world, bringing harmony where there has been disharmony, bringing peace where there has been strife, bringing joy where there has been sorrow and sadness. It is your prayer, it is your gift that comes not from you, but comes from God. And you are but the conduit by opening your heart. We have a choice in this world. We can either be a blessing to this world, or with our mind and with our attitude, we can curse this world. It is up to us each moment, each day, as to how we choose to interact with this world by bringing in the supreme light of God. You turn into the greatest blessing. Well, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there he shall be. And we certainly qualify. We put out this booklet for Mother's Mahasamadhi celebration. And I think it's tremendous. Because we have here in Mother's own words that she wrote to Papa on various occasions. And I'd like to read to you this from March 10th, 1960. And Mother's actually in Portland, Oregon. And she and Father, I believe, lived in Portland for some time, for a year, I think, before they came back up to Seattle. And Mother begins, "Beloved Papa, even though I haven't written to you in some time, you are always in my heart and in my prayers. My gratitude for the love and the help you have given me grows ever deeper as I perceive the greatness of your wisdom and the magnitude of your God realization. I fully realize, even as it was shown to me in a vision, that it was God Himself who stood before me in your form. Ah, Papa, how I long to kneel once more at your holy feet, to see your blissful smile, to hold your hand and bask in the radiance of God's presence. Surely He must take me to you once again, so that I may know the bliss of eternal oneness with our Beloved. God alone, you said over and over again. What a tremendous journey we must take in order to realize God alone. How many things there are to overcome, and what a battle it is. We think we conquer one thing, only to find it bobbing up its head in another direction. I am trying with all of my strength. We lost our connection. We lost our connection. Yeah. Hopefully that's not a weak connection on our end. So it worked all right last time. So hopefully we keep our connection here. All right. Now I have to find my place. How many things there are to overcome, and what a battle it is. We think we conquer one thing, only to find it bobbing its head up in another direction. I am trying with all of my strength to surrender to Him completely. I go wherever He takes me and do whatever He directs me each day, but I am still a soul in torment. My state since leaving India has been so strange. After the experience about which I wrote to you, I had alternately lapses of memory, states of depression, and a feeling of complete inactivity, as though I were living in a void. I feel that I am nothing. I have nothing, and I know nothing. Also, that I am unable to do anything. Many times I am overcome by the great waves of physical weakness. I have not the slightest bit of self-confidence. In January, my situation was so desperate that I spent almost all one night crying and praying to God to release me and show me His will. In spite of my condition, so many people are looking to me for guidance, and I feel so inadequate to deal with them. The love and devotion they give me is beyond my ability to comprehend. Many insist that I am their guru. Someday I have appeared to them in the flesh. I have letters from people in other cities telling me that they have had this experience. How can this be when I know nothing of it? Is it possible that I have attained a state which I am not aware? Others want me to establish an ashram so that they can become renunciants under my guidance. Can God so use one in such a state as I am? What is to become of me, Papa? What am I to do? I will gladly do anything God wants me to, but He must give me the strength, the wisdom, the power, and the courage to do it. In short, He must do all things through me, because I am helpless. Father, too, is in a similar state, unable to find His way or His place. We are both in a sorry state, little Papa, and need your help and prayers. Know one thing for sure, that we love you with all of our hearts, that we want God realization more than anything in the world, and that we are willing to serve Him day and night. But He must make it possible by destroying our egos. We look often at our pictures of India, particularly those of the ashram, and feel poignantly the great love we have for you all. I can hear you say now, you are all He. If only we could remove the veils of ignorance from before our eyes, so that we might meet Him face to face. Give our love to Blessed Mother, to Satchitananda, and all others there. We pray that God may give you health and strength, so we may be blessed with your presence for many years to come. Please be with me, Papa, in all that I do. Pranam, Yogacharya Mildred Hamilton. And Mother talk, quote from Mother a talk in 1963. The path is hard, the way is steep, but it is worth every single thing we have to go through. Many times we stumble and we go backward, and we are pierced by the thorns and the bushes along the way. But still, though faith and through patience and perseverance, we must go on. And if we do, God reveals those tremendous things to us, and He gives us all the power over heaven and earth. And Mother wrote this beautiful prayer to Papa. How long, O Lord, how long? With bleeding heart and weary feet, I came to Thee, O Shepherd of souls, seeking to prove the truth of God which transcends human understanding. Skillfully You probed into my soul, revealing thoughts as yet limited, vision as yet bound. Master craftsman that You are, You parried my every thrust, designed to wrest the eternal secrets from Your grasp. Like duelists we fought, in turn advancing and retreating, intoxicated with the joy of battle, each seeking only to do the will of God. With what infinite patience You widen my channel of understanding, until my heart found sanctuary in the universal vision, enabling me to offer myself as a fit sacrifice at the feet of God. Willingly, gladly, I surrendered myself to Thee in full measure, that the world within might be redeemed. The cost was great, greater still the suffering, but I count it as naught compared with my love for Thee. How can I thank Thee for saving my life, which was already Thine? Like the Christ, I can say, but for this cause came I unto this hour. But what now, O Lord? What now? Where is the fulfillment of His promises? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am so set down with my Father in his throne. And further, for our conversation in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working here whereby he is enabled to even subdue all things unto himself. That from Philippians. As you gazed at me, speaking, oh dear. Maybe we'll have to do a phone call. Did you call her on my phone? Hi. We'll try one more time. And then maybe we'll talk by phone.
Shall I call Carla's phone?
Here's some Geraldine's cell phone.
Okay. I can call your number. We have a Canada plan.
Sure.
Okay. So if it drops again, then I'll give you a call. Then we can do it that way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brahms making us earn it. Okay, are we back together? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can't see you though.
Okay, well, hearing is okay.
Yes.
Yes. The door of heaven is still locked. The banquet...
We can hear you.
Okay. The door of heaven is still locked. The banquet table empty. The throne unoccupied. The soul still wears its old garment. How long, O Lord, how long? Do you think to test me further? I who have given you all, who am empty of self? Know this, then. I shall never turn back. I shall stand before the door forever, turned into a pillar of stone. Mute testimony, that all may see my eternal love for thee. Perhaps an angel passing by, and seeing my pitiable plight, will shed a tear and in compassion remind thee that I still wait without. Perhaps then it in thy mercy, remembering how thou shalt open the door and lift me up, and I shall be held in thy arms of everlasting bliss for evermore. How long, O Lord, how long? And you get a sense here of the tremendous anguish and pain that Mother came was in at the time, and how difficult it was for her. She has given us as the example for ourselves to go through all of these experiences. Only she assured us that what she went through would be much more difficult than anything that we go through. However, when we're in the middle of it, it still feels as if it's everything. The desolation, the emptiness. I remember going through 2 years of the dark night of the soul. Before that, I had had God presence almost continuously. I felt the heart open. I felt the soul in tune with God. And then, as if entering into a totally new phase, moving out of one room and going into another, I was completely devoid of God. That presence that had been a constant friend, a constant presence with me, was no longer there. I felt empty on the inside. And I didn't even feel the loss in the sense that I was totally dead. I was totally empty. Somebody said to me at the time, "It feels like you're gone." And I said, "I'm dead," and it came out of the depths of my own soul. I didn't even anticipate saying it. I was going through this final death. And it's a terrific thing when you're going through it, but somehow knowing Mother's teachings, knowing about the dark night of the soul, I was all right because I knew that I would come out of it as long as I kept my mind on God. This is the key when we go through all the experiences from beginning, through the middle, and to the end. And that is to keep our minds on God always. That is what takes us through each and every experience. There are many wonderful souls with Mother who started into these spiritual experiences. You know, traveling all around India, I would ask different yogis that I would meet about their spiritual experiences in Kundalini. And almost to a person, they said that they had nothing of the kind. And I realized what a tremendous thing we had with Mother. Because with her, we had dozens of people going through these experiences, some of them more in public, some of them more quietly. And so these experiences were happening all over the place. And yet, as I traveled all over India, I found that there were so few who had had anything of the sort. So I realized what a power Mother was, what a tremendous boon she was for us. Now, many of these souls, and good and honest souls, and yet they got taken away from the path one by one. Different temptations, different tests came to them. And Mother's teachings were pure, they were right, and they would have taken each and every one all the way to their God realization if they had but realized it, known it, and followed what Mother had taught. You know, so oftentimes we hear the stories that this one and that one have some kind of test. And when we hear the stories, we think, well, the answer is obvious. And that's because it's not our test in the moment. It's somebody else's test. And what can seem obvious to a person on the outside isn't at all to the person on the inside. Because God is testing them. Now, it seems odd that God should test us. Why should that be so? And it is because it is a purification rite. We ourselves have gone through so many experiences. And as a result of that, we have built up karma. And that karma stands as a wall between ourselves and the divine. Because for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As there is, as Newton said in his law of dynamics. And so this is the way that it is also in a spiritual sense. Everything that we put out from ourselves comes back to ourselves. Now, Mother came into this life without any karma of her own. But she assumed the karma of the world. She was working through the karma of so many when she was going through these experiences. And that's why it was so deep and so terrible for her. I'd like to continue on with another letter that Mother wrote. The previous one was in March. This is in June of the same year. And she begins, "Most beloved Papa, although I have not had an answer to the letter which I wrote to you while in New York, I still feel the urge to write to you once again. I feel your presence so strongly, and know beyond doubt that you are guiding me each step of the way to final liberation. Even in the short time which has elapsed since my last letter, to you the change which has come over me is overwhelming. I am reaching out for complete and utter freedom. It is as though I cannot be bound by a name, an organization, or even a group, but only by God alone. This leads me, at least momentarily, even to want to reject the demands made on me by people which reaction, of course, they are naturally completely unable to understand. It is not that I do not wish to serve God in them, but rather that the command to serve must originate from within than from without. The immediate result is their withdrawal and hurt feelings. It has been suggested that I write a book entitled Autobiography of a Yogi's Disciple, ascribing my meeting and discipleship with Yoganandaji and the history of my ensuing encounters with the organization. Certainly it would make fascinating reading, but would it fulfill a good purpose? And is it God's will? I do not know. There is eager acceptance and the demand to hear more about the revelations I experienced with regard to the true teachings of the Christ under your direction and guidance while in India. And since, if it is God's will that I am to be channeled to take people to himself, then of necessity he must work through me in whatever way is necessary to supply their need. I seem to be at the beginning of a whole new cycle with untold numbers of things waiting to be written, to be said, to be done, and yet I have no positive direction. My efforts are still lethargic. Initially, I felt the urge to put at the top of every first page I wrote, God is the master. We are all his disciples. God is the master. We are all his disciples. A few days later, that seemed impossible, and the need was to write, I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he. There could be no separation. Still later, I felt that the page should remain in its virgin state, because how could words be used to describe the indescribable? I am experiencing all these things within, yet I am still not in complete control. My ego is still not securely fastened on God's peg. How long it takes, no matter how great the effort and how overwhelming the desire. I well remember the time you said that you were hungry for egos, but none wanted to feed you. The desire of my heart is to offer you my own ego in full measure so that your hunger may be satisfied. Be merciful. Take it from me and feast to the point of satiety, that I may be completely consumed. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than the hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they find the grave. That from Job. I have been traveling constantly since my return from New York, first to Bend, Oregon, then to Seattle, where most of my time was spent with devotees there, next to Bremerton and Bellingham, both of which are in Washington, a return to Seattle, and then Portland. The numbers contacted were not great, but the need of the few compensated for it. Otherwise, good God would not have arranged it. The feeling that I should return to Seattle using it as headquarters seems to have subsided since my recent visit there, and I am content to be away from the incessant activity in which I am constantly involved while there. Those who love God and me seem to feel like I and countless others feel about you. They want to be with me constantly, absorb in me, feeling that only through physical contact can they go to him. You so completely dominate my consciousness that I speak to them mostly of you, recommending always that they send for all of your books and the vision. In spite of this being America, with its formal church-going and orthodox methods of doing things, I am convinced that the only true way to take people to God is through personal contact in the way of the masters of the East. We now hold informal meetings in a question and answer basis and wait for the pigeons to come out of their holes. The power of God flows freely, and all are delighted with the new arrangement. Father and I, while completely willing to do whatever God directs, are delighted to be united once more. The companionship and togetherness we feel in God is truly wonderful. Father still rebels at his inactivity, but I am sure it is for a purpose, for all his highest good, that when he is ready, and it is God's will, that he serve, the way will open up for him most wonderfully, and he will be directed to whatever part he has to play in the great drama which is unfolding. We know only that when he comes to the point of total submission and complete nothingness, can he be used as a pure channel through which God works. As for myself, I know at last the joy of total surrender. I am but a babe in the arms of my Father. Depend upon him in every moment of my life for all things, and how wonderfully he cares for me. Better far than anything I have ever known before. Do you remember the poem I wrote to you after the sadhana I experienced while with you? I'm enclosing a copy of it to remind you that I am still waiting. The final experience must come soon. How long, O Lord, how long? I am also enclosing a copy of something which was given to me recently. I have experienced this, but it's still, my realization of oneness is not total and complete. We still look forward to the day when we may return to India, to be reunited with you once more, to kneel at your holy feet, to have your touch, the lotus petals of our awareness, and awaken us forever from our dream of separation from thee, our blessed Papa, our Godfather. Ever thyself, Yogacharya Mildred Hamilton. So you can see how Mother is still living, not yet in her full oneness with God, but how she is not in such a despondent mood as the previous letter. We can identify with these moods that Mother has gone through. We can feel ourselves on that long path and wondering how long, O Lord, how long? How long before we have that complete realization? How long before this ego finally subsides into nothingness, is crucified upon the cross, is surrendered completely and totally to God, and God takes it. He takes that human self, that human ego, and purifies it, and what is left is the eye of the observer, the eye of the great self. And the little self is completely removed. It isn't that we are no longer conscious. It is not that we are no longer a person or an individual. But that individuality resides in God alone. It stems from God alone. It becomes withdrawn into God. And then God fashions it into a persona once again and projects it back out into the earth. And so we feel ourselves to be completely and totally at his disposal, at his whim, at his will. And we want nothing different than that. We're completely satisfied in that. And whatever thoughts he thinks through us, whatever words he speaks through us, whatever actions come forward through this body, they are all his and nothing but his. This is the power that Mother brought. This is the realization that she eventually came to. But it took her 16 years. And through that time, she never turned away from God. She would wonder. Her heart would be rendered. She would love God and want to serve God. And as she said, that even if God never came, she would never leave the door of God. She would stand there as a pillar, but resolute to ever love him and ever serve him. We have to have that kind of determination. Many people are summertime warriors. It is all right when you feel inspired. It is all right when you feel uplifted and transformed. It is all right when you feel the power of the guru, and it lifts you up, and it transforms you. But then you go into that dark night. Then you go into that difficulty. You meet up against things that this world throws at you. And it shakes you. It makes you doubt. And you wonder whether there is any truth in any of this. You know, this is a spiritual science, and it is good to have faith. Faith that it is God who is working in you and through you. But faith is not the same thing as realization. And that is something that we must remember. So it is good to have faith, but sometimes doubt comes along. And what do we do with doubt? Do we turn it into a prayer demand to God? You must reveal yourself. You must show me the truth. No longer hide yourself. No longer keep me in a state of separation. You must remove this doubt with experience. And not just ordinary experience, but an experience that changes me down to the core. That changes the very cell of my beings. Transforms me from the inside out. This is the only way that realization can truly come to us. And until we have that transformation, until every cell of our being is transformed into his, our journey is not complete. Never should we turn aside. There's a wonderful story that Mother told of the king who had no children. And as it is with the way of kings, there's no elected leader. So the king chooses the next one. And since he had nobody from his own family to choose, he thought, I must choose from those who serve me, the ministers who go out and help run this country. And so one day he devised something very cunning. He had devised a fair, and he put into this fair every temptation, everything that he knew could tempt individuals. And then he sent out word for all of his ministers to come to the castle and to see him right away. And so the ministers were coming, and they had to walk through this fair. And oh, there was temptations. There was temptations of food and of sex and of gold and everything that you can imagine. And one by one, all the ministers got pulled off to the side, here and there, by their own choice. And they thought, just a moment, it won't take me but a moment. And then God will take me the rest of the way to the king. There was but one, and he was the senior minister, and he did not look to the left, and he did not look to the right. He went straight forward to the palace, to the king. And then he came into his presence, and the king said, I called all the ministers, where are they? And he said, Maharaj, one here and one there. They all got sidetracked along the way. I'm sure they'll come here very soon. Well, very soon varied for each one of them. Some of them came not long afterwards. Some of them were days later before they straggled in. Much worse for the wear. And then the king held out this prime minister. And he said, this is why I am choosing him. Because he is faithful. He is loyal. He is the one who did not turn to the left or the right and came straight to me when I asked. And they all agreed that he was the best one for the job. And this is the way it is with God. The world gives us so many temptations. And interestingly enough, some of them are terrible things. Some of them are very difficult to go through. And we think, why should that be a temptation? But it is, because the terrible can be as compelling as anything that is good, that is desirous, that is positive. You look at people's reaction when they see an accident by the side of the road. And they're driving by, and everybody wants to slow down and look to see, is there blood? Is there gore? Is there something to see here? Perhaps a burned-up car. And the worse it is, the slower people go. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And so it is that many times the things that trip us up are the things that are not appealing to us, but rather they put us off. They make us doubt. How can there be a God? And all these terrible things happen. To have the answer to that, we must go to God and have him answer us. Because it is a difficult question, and we can describe some of the answers, but none of them will really satisfy. Why is there death? Why is there illness? Why is there starvation? Why are there wars? Why are there these difficult things? And we can only know the answer to that by going all the way to God. You know, we are so fortunate that we have this direct example in front of us through Mother of having gone all the way to God. As she said, to go over the top and go through everything. There are many who have realized God in a wonderful way, but they have not gone over the top. Mother went to one saint when she was in India. His name was Ashokananda. And he was a wonderful, wonderful saint. When he was a young boy, 9 years old, all he wanted to do was meditate on God. But his brothers, and as brothers are apt to do, and friends in the village, they gave him a very hard time. And he'd sit there and he'd try to meditate, and they'd tease him, and they'd try to get him, his mind off of meditation. And he thought, I can't do it while I'm here. And so he left the village, and he went out into the jungles. And he went there all by himself, and there he lived for many years, living off of the fruits and whatever he could find in order to sustain him. His clothes gradually turned into rags. He almost entirely lost the power of speech because he had nobody to talk to. But whatever the elements were, he was all right because one night he was meditating. And his body started to shiver and he got so cold. And he said, "Lord, how can I meditate upon you when I'm shivering and shaking from this cold? You must solve this for me." And God, in that moment, took away all of his awareness of whatever outer conditions he was in, whether it was hot, whether it was cold, or anything in between. It never bothered him again the rest of his life. And there were so many miracles when he thought to and was guided by God to start an ashram. It was a very desolate kind of place. And he dug his hands into the ground, and suddenly out of the ground bubbled a spring. And that water was water for the ashram. This area was completely surrounded by venomous snakes. But once... Hi, Jerry.
Thank you for your patience.
And you, yours.
Oh, not at all. So we can hear you very well now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So as I was telling the story of Ashokananda, he dug his hands into the earth, and out came the spring of water. And there were so many miracles that were associated with him. One time there was a child whose mother died just after birth. And Ashokananda's breasts actually grew. And he was able to nurse that child because there was no one else to do it. And so many things. And mother just thought the world of him. And one day he asked Mother, and he said, "Mother, can you give me what I want?" And Mother said, "I think so, Swami." And what she thought he was asking for was for her to give up her ego, which, of course, she was in a high state of realization then, but she had not gone the whole way. This is in 1968. And so that night when Mother was sitting and she was just thinking about all of this, God told her. And he said, "No, that's not what he meant. Can you give me the full realization?" And she was shocked by this because she assumed that he already had it. He was so great in God and so wonderful. And so the next day she came in front of Swami Ashokananda, and she said, "This is what God told me." And he said, "It's true. I went to the ocean, and I put my toe in, but I didn't go in completely." And so he still had some to go before he got his full realization. So as Papa would say, realization is no joke. We have to understand that it takes everything inside of us, total and complete surrender. And while we take the seriousness of that to heart, we should not think that it is beyond us in some way. Because it is not. God would not have put us on this path if it were not possible for us to go the whole way. Mother would say that this path is for those who are involved in the last mile. It is those who are ready to go the whole way to God realization. And it is simply our own lack of devotion. It is our own lack of complete and total surrender that gives us any sense of separation from God. Now, as Mother said, she was willing to wait forever if that's what it took. And yet it did not take forever. But when you're in the middle of it, it can seem like it is forever. And what are we in charge of? We cannot be in charge of our getting full realization, as that is beyond the scope of what the human ego can do. Rather, what we are in charge of is giving ourselves, surrendering ourselves totally and completely at the feet of God, of loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. This is what we have control of, serving Him in all the forms whom we meet. And so it is that we find ourselves on the spiritual path, that we can pray to God, "Please, Lord, awaken thyself in me. Make me love thee more than the things of this world." And when we do that with complete sincerity, complete heart, mind, and soul, then God takes us at our word. Then He lifts us up and He puts us through whatever is necessary. Now, sometimes people hear Mother's descriptions and they think, "Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that." But we cannot measure ourselves against another. Master used to say, you cannot have Yogananda realization. You can have self-realization, your own realization. So the great masters talk to us about their experiences, about their upliftment, about their realizations. But what we get from God is personalized to each one of us. There are certainly hallmarks of making progress along on the path. Is your heart growing softer? Is it expanding? Is your mind more keenly focused upon God, day and night? Do you serve Him more totally, more completely than you have before? We can take an inventory each night and see how we did through the day. Are we making progress or are we going backwards? Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we have come? Or are we somehow falling short of the goal? This is something that we can measure. We know in ourselves. We know when we're making sincere progress, sincere effort. We know that if we are growing spiritually. Now, it doesn't mean that every day we feel like we've been on top of everything. Sometimes God takes everything away from us. And He does it in order for us to realize that we cannot put all of our eggs into this basket of worldly cares and desires, that it will never fulfill us. And so He takes those things away from us. And at the time we think that we're being punished, but we're not. This is God demonstrating to us there is only one great reality, and that is God. And so in realizing this, we realize that every single experience that comes to us comes from Him. This is particularly true when we put our feet upon the path, because everything that happens after we make our dedication to God is designed precisely to get us the highest realization in the quickest amount of time. And one of the things that is dependent upon that success is that we put our whole mind upon God, we love Him with all of our heart, that we lead a pure life, and that we put Him first in all things. I'm so glad to be with you this evening, because you are dedicated upon this path. You have shown your love. You have shown your dedication. And through this, that is the means in order to realize God. You know, the human mind, the human ego, can never tell how near or how far we are from our realization. Because sometimes when we feel the furthest away, we are standing right on the precipice of something new, something great, something expanded and wonderful. This is true. This is true. You can tell that through people who participate in various sports, somebody who's a long-distance runner, and getting very near to the goal. And yet they feel completely exhausted, completely depleted. They're just going on whatever they've got left in order to cross the victory line. And if you were to ask them, do you think that you're the greatest athlete in the world right now? They would say, no way. I feel like I've got nothing left, and yet I keep going with everything that I've got inside of me. And this is the way it is with our spiritual path. Because when we are completely empty of ourselves, when we have given everything, as Mother did, to God, then God comes in. He makes it all possible. He gives us the strength. He gives us the determination. He gives us the desire in order to realize Him totally and completely. Let us banish from our minds that anything else can give us true and lasting happiness. We have families, we have loved ones, we have friendships, we have everything. And it is all good. But God is the source of it all. And you take away God, and there's no lasting happiness in any of the rest. Give you God, and God could take away everything, and you would find supreme happiness in Him. So let us take Mother as our example, as the one that we would follow through hell, through whatever we would need to go through in order to achieve that highest and greatest realization. It is waiting for us. God is waiting for us. And God is calling for you. So all of my love and all of my blessings. And may you be inspired to seek Him out and to realize God. Master used to say when he went to meditate, he would not get up from his meditation until he felt he had contacted God. This is a wonderful thing. You're not just putting in your time. But you are there to realize Him, to experience Him, to feel Him. This is the greatest thing. And so let us every day be determined that we will touch the fabric of God's being and be transformed by it in some large or small way. So as we close up, feel Him in the fullness of your heart. Feel that great river flowing through you. Feel it sweeping you clean, mind, body, heart, everything. Feel that you are a blessing to this world. When you think of someone, let that love of God flow through your heart. And then you will be a great, great factor in the healing of this world, in the upliftment of this world, and its transformation. Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light. Within you, within your families, within your community, within this world, and beyond. It's been so lovely to be with you this evening. And if you could see me, I am Pranaming, and I bow to the light within you. Hari Om.
Hari Om.